Last night at the Ottawa Senators game during the intermission, they ran an advertisement for Uber.
Oh. Hey Sharks fans, welcome into show 52 of the Pucknologist here on TealTownUSA.com. Do us a favor, subscribe to us on the SoundCloud, give us a review on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and enjoy us on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at TealTownUSA. I am your host, AJ Strong, and with me on one side of the States is Rocket Backhander.
Rocket Backhander performing for duty. Performing for duty. Hey, how you doing?
I like that. And a little closer to the tank, Hockey Jerk.
Hey, so you notice that I think our podcast, we're like 29th in the league. And you notice when AJ's talking, I don't even listen. But cool, man. I'll rate you 5 stars. See you later. Oh, are we doing a podcast? I thought we were in an Uber. My bad. Hello, I'm Hockey underscore Jerk.
Oh, man. How is that not even on here? That's jacked up. That is jacked up. Oh, man. Okay, so, well, as we wait for Rocket to contain herself, let me tell you.
I got to wait while Chris Tierney looks at the stats over in the corner.
Let me tell you, the Sharks, since we last left you, have gone 3-1-1. Currently sitting at 8-4-3, good for 19 points, second in their division, third in their conference. The last games we saw, the last four being against the Rangers, Jackets, Flyers, and Wild versus the Rangers. The Sharks give New York their fourth win of the season, their first on the road in the shootout. After Hurdle ties this game up with 1 second left, Thornton returns in this one, and PDB threw every single line into the blender. Fun note on this one, the Rangers at this point, 4 wins, 2 of them coming against the Sharks. Against the Blue Jackets, a pass-happy Sharks team, play one of their worst games of the season. A lot of people trying to, well, I should say one person trying to blame that on Drake. That didn't happen. So Burns, Meyer, and Couture streaks end, and the PDB blender would continue. Facing the Philadelphia Flyers, the Sharks would get back to their winning ways, taking a 4-3 victory courtesy of Timo Meyer in overtime, 13 seconds in. Couture would keep his streak alive. Philly unable to get a revenge for an 8-2 blowout back in the city of brotherly love. And this one, Thornton would go down to the third line center position. Talk about that in a little bit. And unfortunately, Tomas Hertl would be injured with a shot to the chin, the neck, the face. You make the call.
Upper body.
Yes. Finally, versus the Minnesota Wild, Sharks would get their first regulation win since October 23rd in Nashville, as Sorensen has a 3-point night. However, even though PDB put Hurdle as a game time decision, Hurdle did not play versus the Wild, but boy, did Sorensen make up for that. So those are the 4 games since we last left you. So let's get into it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So Rocket, over those 4 games, give me your good things about Sharks hockey since we last spoke.
All right, the good things about Sharks hockey since we last spoke. Timo Meyer continues to be good. Holy cow. Holy cow. This kid's having himself a year, and speaks to the importance of not rushing the development of a talented player through the ranks of the NHL. What a difference a season makes. I think it's a nice thing to watch his progression. I don't feel that his trajectory is unsustainable. I just hope he stays healthy for the majority of the season. I also think that Joe Thornton has been, his return to the lineup has been refreshing. And I think everybody just needs to calm down about it. That's the good. AJ?
All righty. We know Jerk to be typically a pessimistic guy, but every once in a while he's a keg is half full kind of guy. So what do you think about the good of Sharks hockey?
Well, for me, the good is that Logan Couture is continuing to
be a factor.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you know, when he signs the big contract, and my whole thing was like, okay, are you finally going to pass the 70-point plateau? And, you know, the way he's playing now, statistically, I don't think that's totally ridiculous to assume that he can hit 70, maybe even 80, if he continues on this trajectory. And, you know, it goes without saying, obviously, the way he plays on the power play, the way he plays on the penalty kill, you know, it's absolutely necessary for this team. And I think he's continuing to show why he is the de facto leader in that respect. And I just think it's kind of a big year for him, but at the same time, it's not something that's talked about quite as frequently as it probably should be. Because, you know, oftentimes you'll see the year after you sign the big deal is where you taper off, and it's kind of just, you know, live in the shadows. But Logan Couture has been like, nah, baby, 8 more years after this year, let's go.
And I like the whole thing about tapering off after you sign the big deal. Paging Anze Kopitar. Just say. For me, the good for Sharks hockey is it all kind of starts with the Rangers game. The Sharks stole a point versus New York. I mean, let's be honest, that the Sharks had no business getting a point from that game whatsoever. Thank God for Hurdle tying the game with the second left. But again, Thornton comes back. PDB throws all the lines into the blender. I mean, whatever. We'll get to that in a minute. We're talking about the good part. But hey, they stole that point. Thornton returned, and LeBanc and Sorensen get off the schneid. And since that New York game, LeBanc's had a goal and 2 assists in his last 3 games after only 2 assists since his 4 assist night, bizarrely enough, versus the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Sorensen's had a goal and 3 assists over his last 4 games after not having a point since October 11th at the New York Rangers. So it's very, very bizarre how the New York Rangers have factored into this whole thing. But that is the good. So let's get into the bad. We'll go back to you, Rocket. What is the bad happening for you on this?
Oh, man. The bad for me is Erik Karlsson. Is he going to end up being the Bodker of the season where he's just all speed and no finish?
You shut your damn mouth right
now. I mean, damn. At this point, I'm ready to be like, you know, okay, how many goals does Karlsson get this year, jerk? Not 6.
14.
Yeah.
Not 6.
So that's just where I'm going to leave it, because I can't think of anything worse than that.
Jerk. Okay. what's not so good for you?
What's not so good for me is the play of Evander Kane. Now, obviously, guys are going to get into ruts, and it's to be expected, but it's been a while, I feel, since he scored a goal. And in that time since he scored, I feel like he's been taking a lot more penalties lately and just, I don't know, not being very disciplined with his play. You know, he's kind of having that complex where he's trying to do too much. And because of that, it's causing him to overcompensate and kind of forget about the little things that need to be done. So I think right now, I think my bad is Evander Kane. And it's even hard to pick him because I feel like despite the losses the Sharks have had lately, I don't feel like they've been a bad team as a whole.
I completely agree. And yeah, with Kane, it's, I can't agree more, because you look, he set the season on fire where he was like four goals in the first 4 games. And it was kind of like, oh my God, this top line, you look at Hurdle and Couture, and then you look at Pavelski and Kane, and you're just like, oh man, this team is going to be a hell of a lot of fun and a lot of firepower going on. And yeah, Kane's just kind of like flamed out. Thank God for Timo Meier. But my bad, I kind of piggyback on what Rocket said earlier, is aside from Burns, the defense for this team is not contributing a whole lot on the score sheet. Now, there's been a couple of games here and there. We saw Dylan go, you know, coast to coast. Mm-hmm. But Burns has 18 points right now, while the other 5 D-men on this team have 20 combined. So it would be nice to see a little more coming, at least a little more balance coming from the blue line. Just and, of course, my – just a skosh. And, of course, my – my bad is Hurdle being injured. and missing the wild game. But we move on to what is the ugly, the fugly, if you will, Rocket. What's yours?
It's so tough for me to pick something ugly within the team because there's so much other ugly that's happened throughout the league.
If you want to go with Charche's Muzzy, that's fine.
No, I think the one that I'm going to go to is Mark Edward Vlasic getting a penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. It's just ugly.
Oh, that's not ugly. He has the most profane yet clever chirps. I love
it. Ugly. It's ugly. We don't need that kind of ugliness in the league.
Jerk, you're ugly.
Oh, man. Okay, I don't want to do this, but my ugly is the milkman, Melker Carlson. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm absolutely in love with him as a player. I mean, he kills penalties. He's very good penalty killer, good defensive forward. But I just feel like with the contract that we gave him 2 years ago, I would like to see a little more offense from him. I mean, he's not going to score the way that he did when he was playing with Joe and Joe as a rookie. But, I mean, just do something because for me, and it's not even really Melker Carlson's fault, but for me, I just hate seeing guys like Suomela and guys like Chartier and even Gambrell getting scratched. But Melker Carlson is doing just fine with his one assist. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with you.
Wow, that's a very good point there.
I mean, especially because you're supposed to have four lines that can all take over a game theoretically, right?
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Wow, that's some politics right there.
Ask Santa for that one. My fugly is the line blender that began when Thornton came back. I don't understand how you take two lines that up until that point were performing tremendously well between Hurdle, Couture, and Meyer, and Donskoy, Suomela, and Sorensen. And Thornton comes in, and it seemed like the obvious choice would be, okay, well, if you've got Pavelski, Kane, and LeBanc on top, you move LeBanc down, you throw Thornton in between Kane and Pavelski, like, you know, they started the season with, or you leave all those three lines intact and you bring Thornton back slowly and slot him into the fourth line. And maybe that helps get guys like Carlson going. Who knows? But that was not the way PDB decided to go with it. So for half a game, he juggled up all his lines to fit in one player. Didn't work. He returned back to where he was. Then following the New York game, Columbus comes to town. PDB does the exact same thing. What was the point of that? And ends up returning, finally putting Thornton on the third line. So that was my ugly. What are you guys thinking needs to be where Thornton needs to be slotted in at this point?
Did you see the mic'd up video of Timo Meyer where he said to Couture and Hurdle after getting back to the bench, it's good to be back with you guys. Yep. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I did.
I mean, very minor detail. I mean, I hope there were no Uber drivers nearby filming, but but you know, I like your point, AJ, about having Jumbo be on the third line, because that was something that, I mean, not on air or anywhere, but just sort of in casual conversation. That's something that the three of us all kind of theorized about, especially with how well Pavelski, Kane, and either LeBanc or Donskoy were playing in the playoffs. And that was kind of something we all wanted to see. So I'm glad that we're seeing it now. And I mean, evidently it's worked so far, right?
Apparently it's created a lot of mismatches for the other team having him out there. So, I mean, that's good for him because it means he's probably having more fun out there getting a good piece of the action than he is trying to play on a top line against people who maybe are too fast, too young, whatever. So he's playing like quality as opposed to elite status. And I think maybe that's what I mean. I'm hoping that he's happy playing where he is. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I would hope so. As long as he's having fun with it. I mean, he knows that it's, you know, he's not long for this life when it comes to hockey. So, you know, have a good time with it. You're not going to be getting 19, 20, 21 point or 21 minutes a game. It's going to be 12, 13 ish. So make the most of it. Take advantage of the mismatches. Yeah.
Yeah.
We move on from the good and bad and the ugly. And of course, go on to the three stars of the week, or what we call.
Oh, good for you.
We start with Rocket, your star for this week of Sharks hockey.
I'm going to say Marcus Sorensen, because holy simoleons, that last game, he had himself a night, and he has been having himself a season. So, I mean, I know he's been a little streaky, and he's starting to get back on it. I hope he stays hot for another hot minute.
There you go. Jerk, yours.
My star is going to be Jumbo Joe Thornton. Comes back from the injury, kind of had a tough go of it in the first game, but, you know, like we talked about earlier, since moving to that 3C spot, he's looked like a new player. I mean, he's got a goal in both games that he's played most of the minutes at the third center, and just kind of separately, it's cool to see him playing with Marcus Sorensen and Barkley Goodrow, because I think those are two very good players, and now you've got a very good center like Joe Thornton there. I mean, we talked about matchups and giving players or other teams fits with any line on your team, and I don't know, depending on who you play, that third line could really do some damage, like we saw against Minnesota.
Here, here.
My star, you know, it's like, oh, you could take the obvious choice of Meyer, who's ripping up the team. You could put Couture in 9-game streak. But no, I'm actually giving my star of the week to PDB for putting the blender back in the cupboard, reuniting 28 with 39 and 48, putting Jumbo, like you said, with Goodrow and Sorensen, finding those good matchups. And I'll even give it to PDB. Just about a week or so ago, throws Chartier on the bench or up in the press box for a game. What happens? Following game, Chartier gets his very first NHL goal. Then, earlier this week, he scratched Suomela. What happens? Suomela comes back, has a monster game, and I believe got his first goal. Did he not?
No, it was his first goal at home.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I knew there was a first in there somewhere. So, his first home goal. So, either way, PDB, just keep the blender at home once in a while and stop breaking it out. Okay, pal? So, those are the three stars, and if you were named one of them...
Oh, good for you!
Let's get into fun around the Pacific with a little bit of Shark Bites. We talked about the LA Kings imploding the last show, and since then, they fired head coach John Stevens just 13 games into his second season as the bench boss in favor of former Canucks bench boss Willie Desjardins. LA has also fired assistant coach, and I'm going to butcher this name, Don Knockbauer.
I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't hear anybody like pushing back on it, so we're just going to go with that.
Don Knockbauer, maybe?
Okay. Yeah. Don Knockbauer. Okay, that's
Jack
who it is.
Jack Bauer.
Yeah. And hired former Sharks and Kings forward Marco Sturm, you know, that other 19 for the Sharks, to replace him on Desjardins' staff. So I don't want to say that we saw this coming, but we were talking about how much this team was imploding just a week ago. How long before Willie D gets locked out of the locker room while the boys have another meeting?
Oh, well, for me, phrasing is everything, because when Chicago told Joel Quenneville to go pound sand, their replacement was listed as being the, I don't remember the number, 36, 38, whatever, the exth coach in franchise history, while versus with Willie Desjardins, it's, oh, you know, he's the interim coach and he's going to fulfill the role for the rest of the regular season and then we'll go from there. I mean, if the LA Kings all start winning, maybe the interim tag is gone, but I think a lot of the time, I would say 9 times out of 10, when you see interim is about as good as it gets, and a new coach doesn't change the fact that only like 4 of the players on that roster are doing anything.
one of them is not named Ilya Kovalchuk.
Right. So I think until, you know, their problems go beyond the coach and really the guys they have at the top, like Kopitar, Doughty, Brown, even Kovalchuk, like those guys are fine. But I mean, you need more from Toffoli, mm-hmm. Pearson, Carter. Adrian Kempe is a young guy who's, in my opinion, been misused a lot. They need to address that somehow. And the defense, too. I mean, your top three is good, but beyond that, it's okay. And I think the poor performance, should it continue, I think will ultimately cost Willie Desjardins his job at the end of the year.
Oh, my God, Rocket. How great would it be to see Willie D get fired before the end of the season?
That'd be funny, but... From what I understand, I don't know too much about the Kings fans and the Kings fan base's gripes, but there seems to be a big point of agreement that Jake Muzzin's absolutely useless.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would agree with that. He had a good year He had a good year last year, but
oh, sure, he had a good year last year.
But again, phrasing, a good year.
And welcome to the LA Kingsologists.
There's a lot of guys who have had a good year. Typically, it seems to happen right when they're at the end of a contract. Funny how that works out. Speaking of canned coaches, Quenville also gets the Spanish Archer Elbo out of Chicago. Is that the first time you've ever heard that one?
Yeah.
Spanish Archer, buddy. Elbo.
That is fantastic.
So, I mean, did you think this was going to happen? I mean, it's just kind of funny when you think about that the Kings and the Blackhawks have accounted for like five of the last eight cups. I mean,
and even the year that Chicago won in 2013, LA was in the West Final. The year that LA won in 2014, anybody want to tell me who was in the West Final?
Lincoln.
Chicago.
Kennedy.
You're right, AJ. Those two teams were stacked for a long time. And it's kind of crazy just to see how quick this fall from grace has happened, you know?
Can
I ask a question on the other side of that, though? Has there ever been an NHL team to gracefully fall into decline?
Eventually, Pittsburgh.
I don't know how graceful that's going to be.
I don't know. I mean, Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with it. I mean, Vancouver, basically a goal away from winning the whole thing in 2011. And
then
just
it all starts
down
for them. It all started when we swept them in the playoffs. But I'll tell you this, when you're in a division, like you remember the old Northwest division, when you're in a division with four non-playoff teams, it's easy to win your division every year.
You know what? I'll give you one that was a slow decline. Dallas winning in 99.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then it's been just kind of you talk about a long descent, but at least it wasn't, you know, a plummet it wasn't off a cliff. It was a long descent.
I wonder which is worse for the fans. Ooh. I think probably the long descent.
See, I would think going over the cliff would feel a little worse because you were so close. So, you know, just a short time ago, but maybe it's that idea too. It's like, well, let's just go over the cliff now because then it's easier to get back. I don't know.
You mean like the LA Kings this year?
Oh,
we shall see, my friend.
We shall see.
I want to see how. I want to know if Randy Carlyle's on the clock in Anaheim right now. To be honest with you,
he should have never gotten back off the clock. Like, if your ex girlfriend does you dirty, you gonna get back with her? Probably not. That's all I'll say.
Just let it go. Just let it go. Save those jokes for off the air, people. Save it for off the air. Not a big piece of news necessarily, but we're just going to throw it out there. If you have kids that have sensory issues, the Sharks are now offering sensory kits to fans with those needs. Whether to be honest, like if you're bringing a small child and you don't bring headphones, you're a bit of a crappy parent. Let's just call it what it is. If you're not bringing headphones where there's going to be all these people screaming, and I mean, we know the decibel level gets over 105, 110 in that building. And if you got a kid that's like, I don't know, eight or younger, if you're not bringing them with headphones, you have serious issues.
This is not '70s anymore, people.
Yeah. And then, you know, if they're ADD, whatever, they need one of those fidget spinners, something to keep them occupied. It would amaze me that seeing a puck go back and forth and guys beating the crap out of each other is not enough to keep you occupied.
Don't judge.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not. But just saying, Sharks now offer that if you, in fact, need it. So good on them. Pacific Division has tightened a little bit as some teams went streaking. You had Arizona on a 5-game streak. Ooh. Calgary, still, as we record this, 4-game streak. Vancouver just ended three-game streak.
Not stand, man. This is not sustainable, this play, Vancouver.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. And the whole thing is like Pedersen, Besser, somebody goes down, it's like that. Fanfare dates. For those of you who were unaware, the San Jose Sharks are hosting the All-Star game this season. And
no way.
What? I'm telling you, it happens. Yeah, no, pull the Brody about Marlowe being tra- what?
What?
Fanfare dates have been announced for All-Star weekend. So that's coming up January 24th through the 27th. So over, I'm sorry?
It's my birthday.
There you go. Thursday from 5 to 10, Friday from 5 to 10, Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. So all through All-Star weekend, San Jose Convention Center is going to be locked down for fanfare. Now, there hasn't been any details as to what fanfare will include, but those are the times and dates. So mark out your calendar, Rocket.
Just a small piece of fun factory from the NHL is that Alex Ovechkin passes Marcel Dion for 8th on NHL's all-time power play goals list at 235.
Oh, good for you!
See, to me, that's amazing because
Joe Thornton, the next game, Joe Thornton plays his 1500.
Yeah, right? I don't know. To me, Alex Ovechkin is always going to be like, and same with Sidney Crosby, you know, the young, fresh, new guy in the league. And sure. Then it's like, you know, they've both already cracked 1,000 points. And it's like, man, there's no sign of stopping with them.
See, I can't believe they're only like a year apart, aren't they? Like Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah, Ovechkin's a year older.
Year. That guy, Ovechkin looks like 20 years older than Crosby.
He really does.
Yeah. I don't know if that's because Ovi's just seen some stuff or because they keep Crosby in a cryogenic chamber, you know, so he just doesn't get any older.
I know. Finally, and you know, if we're going to talk about anything, we have to talk about the things that you need to really take into account when you're a hockey player outside of your market taking Uber somewhere. Doesn't matter where. But maybe you need to be cognizant that we now live in a world where people have their phones on all the time, video record, just act as if you are in a casino, no matter where you're at. The camera is always on. So let's talk. I mean, as if Ottawa's season could not start any worse with any more of a black cloud, losing Hoffman, losing Carlson, everything going wrong with that. I want to say how many guys were in that van, like six?
Yeah.
Six or seven. And of course, Tierney and DeMello, this is a different kind of post-Teal syndrome, let me tell you. but the guy's getting busted with the Uber driver recording. And the funny thing is, now I'm sure people listening to this, they've already heard this story. But the funny thing is, from what I'm hearing now, the reason why the Uber driver let it out of the bag is because they didn't tip him.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. I think that's pretty ridiculous. But let's just talk about for a second. Rocket, I mean, these are just guys having fun on the road. They know that their season is not doing well. I think they're just blowing off steam. Anybody at any job, you could hear this at any bar.
Sure. Yeah. No, like outside of the specific context, the overall mood and just general conveyance of emotion and expression was the same. It's a universal feeling. I think all of us have felt against the quote unquote man. I think that's it. And they were just diffusing their anxiety and angst about the situation with a little bit of humor. Who hasn't done that? And I mean, yeah, they said some stuff that was maybe inappropriate to a degree, but I don't think it was personally harmful towards anyone. I don't think it was really a personal attack on the character of any of their teammates or their coaches. Just poked fun at how they did their jobs a little bit. And given that hockey boys have mouths like sailors, I felt that they were actually pretty nice about the way they conducted themselves.
No kidding. Yeah, I mean,
the whole thing is blown out of proportion. And I think there was scandal generated out of nothing for content's sake.
But see, that's the thing, though, that it maybe kind of goes to a further point is that this was one of the best things that could have happened for hockey over like the last couple of weeks in the way of promotion and marketing, because people are actually talking about it now. Like, it's so rare to get a human story a lot of the time. I mean, there's the stuff, yeah, that you've got Brent Burns on the farm doing stuff. Okay, that's all well and good, and it's a great story about what's happening with that. But just the fact that this was such a human moment, which you seem to never get, because it's always 99% of the answers are always the same. It's always, you know, well, we're doing, you know, we do, they got a great team over there, and you know, we knew it was going to be a physical game, and they're a speedy guy bunch over there, and we knew it. I mean, it's all the cliche stuff. Yeah. I mean, the Drake question last week was like the most off the rails we've gone like in this entire season. So I actually think this was just a fun 6 minutes, honesty, humanity from some guys that you can see they're, you know, they're having a hard time this season. And it's, you know, it's like, well, if we don't joke about this or at least have a little fun with it, to, and maybe that brings us close together. It's like, you're just going to sit in your room and cry about it, 'cause you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm on this team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how the hell do I get out of this? Now, that said, when they were talking about like the worst PK and worst power play, and they were kind of like, you got guys in the back, like, you know, bringing up the numbers on their phones, which I think is great.
That was Tierney,
right?
Tierney.
So for me, though, the one of the guys, was it Duchesne? Who was it that said something like when they're talking about the film, or he's like, yeah, I haven't watched that in like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and
that was Duchesne.
Yeah, you can tell he's just he tuned this coach out before he even got to Ottawa.
So let me start by this. If you for the three of us, if you and another coworker have ever talked about how much you don't like a boss, stay silent. Point taken. Anyways, the thing for me is, number one, Uber needs to fire this driver. Number two, Uber needs to apologize to the Ottawa Senators and the players. Number three, the Ottawa Senators players need to rework their BS apology.
Yeah, that was pathetic.
Because basically they said, oh, hey Rocket, did you hear that AJ sucks? Oh, God, sorry. I'm sorry, AJ. I didn't mean for you to know that I think you suck. Like, no. What you should have said was, I'm sorry I didn't come to you like a man and tell you that there's a disconnect. That's what should have happened, but no, because you got to save face, and like their owner said, they're in a dumpster, so whatever. I don't know. All I'm saying is I don't fault the players because everybody's done it. I fault the Uber driver, and I don't, like I said, I don't fault the players for saying it. I fault the players for not going to their coach and saying, hey, there's a disconnect here. We need to work on this.
You know, maybe you do it like the LA Kings. You just have a closed door meeting and lock the coach out, and he gets the point that way. Message, yeah.
Okay. So, lesson learned. Great ways of communication are either to come forward like a man and say, "Hey, there's a disconnect," or just lock the person out of the room and they'll get the message.
I mean, it speaks volumes, right?
Sure. Either way, it seems applicable. It has tons of real life application.
Okay, see? But at least I see the opportunity for comedy here. If SNL does not do a sketch something like this, where it's just it's like that taxi cab confession thing, where it's just, oh, okay, the Ottawa Senators come in and they lament, oh, I'm not even paying attention to this. Then it's like, you know, it could be a group of football players, or it could be a group of cheerleaders. I mean, just different, a whole taxi cab confession thing like that, I think would be a hysterical takeoff on this.
What it, you know, would be funny is like, say they weren't in an Uber, say they're in a taxi, and they're just like, yeah, our power or our penalty kill sucks, da 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 da. And then here, boom, you're on the cash cab.
Wait, what?
or you have it where it's November. Well, I guess it was last, well, whoever, what, but either way, November. Okay, October 2018, you know, and then it's whatever, 10:30 at night, Arizona, blah blah blah, and it's Ottawa Senators getting in, and a little bit of that, they leave, fade to black, then it's like Arizona, October 2025, and now Dylan DeMello is actually the Uber driver. I mean, there are different ways you could take this. Or, no, better yet, the Ottawa coach is the driver. Actually, instead of it being 2025, it's like next year or next month.
April 2018.
Oh, we'll be here all week.
She's always...
Until the next show. So let's get out of this, kids. We've gone on way too long. We should have been done already. Let's preview these next games. The Sharks head out for a quick two-game roadie back-to-back and return home for their longest stretch of home games of the season. So start in Dallas, who are 3-1-1 over their last five. However, they have only lost twice at home so far. Then the following night, they head up to St. Louis. Hey, you know, tell me if you've heard this one before. The Sharks go on a road trip and stay in the same time zone the entire time. Kind of interesting.
I can't be right.
I know. That's St. Louis. You know, I'm surprised they didn't schedule this somehow where there was the time change in between these two games. But at St. Louis, who was an early favorite to be the top, we all knew that Nashville, Winnipeg were going to fight for the 1 and 2 slot for the Central. And St. Louis was kind of the early favorite to be that top three player. And they are currently the cellar dwellers of the Central. And they come home and face Calgary. This is going to be a great game. The first meeting versus the Flames. Calgary currently tops in the Pacific Division. And like I said, this will begin the Sharks' longest homestand of the season. So anything from you, Rocket, on these three games, what you kind of look forward to?
I think that watching the Sharks against Calgary is going to be a lot of fun because I enjoy watching the antics and, shall we say, shenanigans of a certain Matt Tkachuk, but I also think that Johnny Hockey is pretty good. Johnny Gaudreau. Gaudreau? I don't know. If people have a difficult time pronouncing Logan Couture, Couture, you know, then I think I can have a fun enough time with Gaudreau.
Gaucho. No, that can't be right.
Gouge out my eyes from this segment.
Jerk, for those three games, what are you kind of looking for? Are you looking for Bishop to, exert himself and get beaten? Because we all like to beat the Bishop. I mean, what are we looking at?
Jesus.
I'm never going to let that go.
I think... With all of these teams, more specifically with St. Louis and Calgary, I think you're going to see both of them have that idea of they kind of want to prove that they are more, in St. Louis's case, that they're better than what the record indicates. And in Calgary's case, they want to prove that they belong at the top. Mm-hmm. AJ and I can't tell you how many years it's been that you and I have been like, Flames are going to break out, and mm-hmm. they have not broken out. I don't know. Dallas, I mean, yeah, Dallas scores a lot of goals, but we stop a lot of goals, so whatever. Like I said, St. Louis and Calgary, both teams, they have something to prove. I wouldn't be surprised if either of those games are the Sharks' toughest matchups, regardless of win or loss to date.
Well, there's a lot of tough coming up over these games. I mean, like I said, the Sharks begin a six-game stand after this two-game roadie, and it's Calgary, Nashville. We all know what happened with Nashville. They're going to be wanting a little payback after coughing up a, you know,
after Brendan Dillon ruined their lives. Yeah, they're
exactly. Eyes on that guy every time he's got the puck. Do you hear me?
Yep. Then, of course, you have the return of Patrick Marleau with the Leafs. Boos going to be every time Tavares touches that puck?
I was hoping you were going to say how loud are the boos every time Marleau touches the puck. I love Patrick Marleau, but I'm so tired of people talking about him coming back.
Yeah, it's no. Like, hasn't he been in town as a Leaf yet?
Yeah, he still lives here.
Right. So let's stop talking like he just got back from some foreign war and is missing.
Yeah, like was he at summer camp or something? Like,
it's what happens when you spend 20 years with a franchise. It's going to happen. But either way, back to my point is that the Sharks are getting into a stretch of games that are going to test them. The Calgary game should be really a solid test. As much as we're kind of having fun with Dallas, if memory serves, the last time the Sharks played Dallas, they got themselves royally embarrassed on New Year's Eve.
Was that the last time we played them?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's the last time we played them in Dallas. We hosted them twice after that.
Gotcha.
Did we win or lose in either of those games?
I am unsure.
So I'm just going to go on the assumption that we won.
Exactly. So Rocket, your final thoughts on where the people can find you so we can wrap up 52 here.
Final thoughts. Oh my gosh. This is my happy place. I love these guys. My name is Rocket Backhander, and you can find me musing about Sharks hockey and other things, all things teal and living in Nashville among weird people in gold sweaters, on the Twitter machine at capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76. That's Rocket Backhander 76. I am also taking photographs of myself and other things around me on the Instagram application. What is my username? Rocket Backhander, one word, all lowercase. Find me. Seek me out. Follow me.
Jerk, your final thoughts on whether people can find you on the Soch.
So, final thoughts. The Sharks, despite not running away with the division like we all had anticipated, Sharks are in a good spot. You know, everybody's firing. Top guys have cooled off, but the depth guys have heated up. I believe that's the definition of a recipe for success. It's exciting to see. EK65 is going to break out. You needn't worry. And I just want to say, I feel like this show was one of my better shows, despite going to the Drake concert last night. I don't know if you were there, AJ, but it was a pretty good show.
No, I wasn't. I was handing out Halloween candy.
So, yeah, if you want to find pictures of me at the Drake concert, you can follow me on Twitter and nowhere else, at @hockey_jerk.
My final thought is there's a particular team that, unfortunately, I feel like a lot of people are not paying attention to. They are neglecting. Let me give you a hint of who I'm talking about. We're talking about a hockey team that 9-1-0-1. The Barracuda are killing it right now. They're like averaging 5-6 goals a game, 300 fights. No, I'm kidding. But they are killing it. Do yourselves a favor. Catch some Barracuda hockey. It has been really good so far this season. And hey, the next game for the Barracuda is Cleveland Barons night. So they're going to be giving out the jerseys for the first 4,000 fans. So check that out. From what I understand, Douglas Murray and Jonathan Chichu were also going to be honored for that November 18th game. So do yourselves a favor. Go enjoy some Barracuda hockey. That's on a Saturday, so you got no excuse.
I enjoy me some Douglas Murray.
So, and actually, my bad, it's a Sunday. So the 18th, but go check out the Barracuda. Do yourselves a favor. Mm-hmm. I am AJ_Strong on the Twitter, on the Insta, also throwing up some stuff on the Teal Town USA gram. As always, follow us at Teal Town USA on Twitter. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, if you please. We're going to be doing some more giveaways coming up very soon. So make sure to follow us on all the channels, SoundCloud, leave us a review on iTunes, just all the places. The more we see your name when we're looking for giveaway stuff, when we see that you're on SoundCloud and on iTunes and all the different places, we keep seeing your user ID. That means more entries for you and better your chance to win.
I'll tell you this, folks. Spreading my user ID is how I got a spot on this podcast, so it works.
I didn't want to come right out and say it, but I'm glad you did.
Very that's true. I fanboyed and AJ was like, crap, we can't leave this guy alone.
Of course. Yes. And please, the EKs on the team, get it going. That's all I'm saying. So thanks for listening to episode 52. Catch you next time for episode 53.
I'm sorry, but last night at the Ottawa Senators game during the intermission, they ran an advertisement for Uber.
Oh, good night, everybody.